The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Visiting police fascism in Florida today for a couple of reasons. One, because many of you have been confused by the confused conservatives in the media and have taken the side of the fascists. Now, I have supported the police from the day I began in 1994, maybe to the 99.9th percentile. And I've even raised money for police, which is more than most of the so-called hosts can state. But when I see a case like this, where the Keystone cops, and remember, they're campus police, they're not city police. Campus police are to police as military justice is to justice, or as military music is to music. They're not cops. They're a stage above a security guard. These are the dregs who can't become police. They hurt this kid, irrespective of the fact that he may have been hamming it up. It doesn't matter. They had him on the ground. By what I have read, he was handcuffed, and then one of the fascists tasered him for sport. She should be put in prison, as far as I'm concerned. Now, many of the knee-jerk conservatives in the media, the phonies, the real fakers, have knee-jerkingly taken the side of the police to show what good conservatives they are. The question I want to raise with you today is this, because you're all listeners of talk radio. Which media conservative, so-called, supported tasering the kid? Which media conservatives supported tasering the kid? Because it's going to be very telling to see which ones you've heard say he got what he deserved, he shouldn't have asked the question. I actually heard the leprechaun, who was, of course, attacked the Swift Boat veterans, attacked Michael Savage, attacked virtually everything that's supposedly conservative. He does a fairly good job on television, but radio is a much more truthful medium. No makeup, no smiles. No striped gangster suits, no girls in short skirts doing panty flashes, flashing cameras and lights, and we'll be back in a minute. No $12 million sets. It's you and reality. I heard the leprechaun say that the kid went over the line by asking Kerry an embarrassing question. I swear to God, I heard that. I couldn't believe this. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm as much a media hound as any of you are. It's my living. It's what I do now. It's what I've done for 15 years. And so occasionally I will listen to other shows for a minute or two. I don't listen for very long. And the reason is there's a rule I have, which is I learned it 10 years ago. Don't listen to anyone else's show or you'll subconsciously start to pick up some of their innuendo or techniques. Now, since most of them don't have any techniques, there's no threat to that. But many of them listen to me and start to copy my shtick like dogs and cats and restaurants, and it sounds awful. It doesn't work for them because it's not them. They're faking it. They're trying to put on my shoes and they don't fit. I'm the Cinderella of radio. They're not. So they ought to stick to their black boots. It works better for them. How can a media conservative, how can a media libertarian take the side of police who tasered a student who had been handcuffed and was on the ground? Which one of them has done so? I'd like you to call the show. Which media conservatives have supported tasering the kid? I want to hear their names on this show. Paul, Houston, Texas, go ahead, please.
Listen, Mr. Savage, the thing is that you're hitting the nail right on the head. These people, the so-called conservatives, they're not conservative at all. They're on the same agenda. And the only reason why they
would the leprechaun go so far as to say that this kid went over the line by asking too many questions and he overstayed his allotted time? What do we live in, Russia of 1950? Do these people recognize they've become petty, knee-jerk fascists?
Yes, he is told to say this. Just like 2 days, he has to wait sometimes 2 days so him get the. He gets to go ahead to say something on the air because he is governing the man with the cigar, the heavyset man's got 4 wives before. He's governed too.
I can't speak to the governance of any other individual. I can only speak to the hollowness of individuals who would take the side of police who are engaged in police brutality. This is right. You know, this is before anyone's eye. They could see the police were out of control. They couldn't control the situation. And then when they finally wrestled the kid to the floor, 3 or 4 of them, they handcuffed him, then they tasered him. To me, this is a clear case of police brutality. Thank you for the call. Albany, New York. Mel, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Turkey Neck, he kind of jumped all over the situation. The kid approaching the senator, and, you know, a U.S. senator, you can't approach him.
Wait. Who said you can't approach a U.S. senator?
The guy's got the gun.
Approach a U.S. senator?
Saying today that in the manner in which the kid rushed basically the stage, that they were holding this forum. He called it a forum. That he broke the rules of the forum, which was a crime. And I don't believe.
I have a question for you. I have 2 different tasering videos on my website. Have you seen either of the 2?
I haven't seen any of it because it's so imbecilic. You know, it's so.
But you have to watch it, my friend. Unless you watch these videos, you can't have an informed opinion. You just can't have an informed opinion. Chicago, Illinois. Nick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Your competitor and emulator, the slick guy with a voice like Groucho Marx, he was very much in favor of the campus police action that took place.
Who, the lawyer? The lawyer on ABC, big conservative lawyer?
The voice like Groucho Marx.
Well, he has a voice like a castrato, if you ask me, but that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that they're showing that they have no discernment and that you can't rely upon them, that they're simply going to give you knee-jerk, so-called conservative reactions. Police are always right, no matter what they do, because I love the cops. I love the cops. They're always right. That's an easy position to take. But it doesn't show any discernment, does it?
No, not at all.
And by the way, who has been in trouble? I sent $30,000 to a cop a number of years ago who was being sued for having manhandled a suspect. Ask Groucho if he's ever sent him anything. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think? Which media conservative supported tasering the kid? Was he tasered because he asked Kerry about skull and bones? What do you think about John Kerry? Let's not forget, as I said yesterday, that if John Kerry could not control a lecture hall, how could he have controlled the nation in turmoil? Answer, he couldn't. The man is disconnected from reality. If you had John Wayne playing John Kerry in the John Wayne version, he gives a speech in front of students. A kid gets up and asks embarrassing questions. He starts to approach the senator. The cops tackle the kid. Mayhem breaks out. John Wayne says, wait a minute, officers, hold on now. Now, you hold on. That's not a bad question. I'll answer the young man. Now, you let him go. Everything will be okay. He actually walks out from behind the podium, and he takes control of the situation to show he's a real man, not a fraud, as the Swift Boat veterans have implied about John Kerry. I'll be right back. So there it is. He's begging them not to taser him. He's already submitted to them. He's in a panic. He is hysterical because the cops were hysterical. And they have him on the ground. They handcuff him. Then one of the women, I watched the videos. Watch him on my website. I have 2 different ones. I have the YouTube version, and then I have the ABC 2 News version. There were 5 different versions. And you'll see the woman, the fascist, who is sadistic, tasers him while he's on the ground because that's why she took the job. Now, there are other stories we're going to talk about. The Iranian Hitler is going to be escorted to Ground Zero by a liberal Jewish mayor named Bloomberg. That's right. Instead of being arrested and tried for mass murder and executed within 30 days, Ahmadinejad is going to be given a police escort in New York City by the NYPD by a liberal Jewish mayor. He's authorizing it. To the credit of Romney, he said he wouldn't even let him leave the confines of the UN. At least somebody in the political arena spoke out. It's a thank God somebody sees what's going on in the world. Bloomberg is a complete and total moron, another billionaire liberal moron disconnected from reality. Hey, Bloomberg, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, said Santayana, the Spanish philosopher. What has to happen, schmuck? Hey, schmuck billionaire Bloomberg, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you, you putz? There's another story. Here is some good news. A class action legal shark is going to prison. One of the biggest sharks of the class action gangsters, attorney William Larach, is going to prison for 2 years. But thousands of such vermin are out there suing and suing and suing businesses. They are criminals, bigger criminals than the Crips and the Bloods. They're taking in billions of dollars a year from people who create companies. They are worse than the Crips and the Bloods. Class action lawyers are the lowest vermin in the United States of America. They should all be going to jail with attorney William Larach, in my opinion. Their assets should be seized. Their children's assets should be seized. Their children's children's assets should be seized. Their trusts should be busted and their money dispersed back to the companies they broke. That's what needs to happen in a sane America. There's another story you can read on michaelsavage.com. Jack Murtha, the great war hero who called our young men mass murderers, the Marines at Aditha, was cornered by a wonderful young American for freedom in an elevator. As he was getting into an elevator, Jason Matera has real strong guts, and he corners this fraud, Jack Murtha, and asks him if he's going to issue an apology to the Marines. And you can't believe what Murtha says. Play this audio tape now.
Congressman, Jason Matera, young American's town. All right. Now that the murder charges against Lance Corporals Justin Sherratt and Stephen Tatum have been dropped in the Haditha incident or in the process of being dropped, would you like to issue an apology for saying that they killed innocent civilians in cold blood?
Trial still going on.
Justin Sherratt and Stephen Tatum, two men you accuse of murdering innocent civilians in cold blood.
Trial still going on.
No. The charges in the process of being dismissed. So what? The process of being dismissed. Do you like besmirching our troops, sir? Do you like besmirching our troops, sir?
You've been in the service. I enlisted in Korea. And
sir, you accuse them of murder.
I hope Jack Murtha is sued for everything he's worth.
Would come from Al Jazeera.
Good for you. That's right. That's right. It would come from Al Jazeera, who's one and the same as Jack Murtha. He may as well work for Al Jazeera, that swine. Now, you got to listen to the whole transcript of this. It was a little garbled. But Jason Matera should get an award for what he did. He was not intimidated by this pig, Jack Murtha. In fact, Murtha uses the old classic game, were you in the service, sir? You know, that's like saying, so what? What do you mean? If you're in the service, that suddenly gives you a pass to condemn American troops? No, sir. He wasn't in the service, but he's in the service of the truth right now. And you're in the service of the enemy, Jack Murtha. This is an unbelievable video. Please go on to my MichaelSavage.com website and watch the video. This just came out on WNBC TV in New York City. Officials have rejected Ahmadinejad's request to go to Ground Zero. This is the latest news. I don't know which officials. Maybe it's official Bloomberg, the moron. But just now, I can't show it again. I'm trying to get to the site. But the news just came out a moment ago that some officials in New York reject Ahmadinejad's bid to visit Ground Zero. Now, I don't know what official who that would be. Let's pray it's Bloomberg came to his senses. Maybe his medication wore off and he saw reality. Officials just decided to reject the Iranian Hitler's request to visit Ground Zero just weeks after the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The decision came in a meeting that included representatives of the NYPD, the Secret Service, and the Port Authority, according to police. NYPD officials just confirmed in a statement that earlier this month, the department received a request from Amjad, the Hitler of our time, to visit the World Trade Center during the United Nations General Assembly. A statement issued by the NYPD said, requests for the Iranian Hitler to visit the immediate area would also be opposed by the NYPD on security grounds. Well, hey, thank God for the NYPD. They have brains. They're professionals. That's more than we could say about the billionaire bozo, Mayor Bloomberg, who'll now deny that he ever thought about it. 1-800-449-8255. Dan Rather is now suing. I guess that's what you do when you lose your job, is you sue. Suing, I don't know what he's suing for. He's suing for being a flop and a failure. He looks like W.C. Fields. I doubt that he'll get anything. He doesn't have the same case as Imus had. 1-800-449-8255. Dan, KFMB, San Diego. Topic, please. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, Michael, you know, years ago, and I'm actually calling from San Francisco, but I told your screener, when I used to live in San Diego, I came along, me and a friend came along, a couple of rent-a-cops just beating the crap out of this guy. I mean, they had him in a chokehold, and they were hitting him with kidney shots, and we weren't just going to stand by and watch it. So me and my buddy, we pulled these rent-a-cops off this guy, and we roughed these guys up, these security guards, and let the guy go. And you know what? All it takes is one. If I was there and I saw that happening when that kid got tabled, I would have slammed those cops to the ground, and then everybody else would have joined me. And that's what
Have you seen the video of the students sitting there and smirking while this went on?
Oh, it was unbelievable, like you said. They were D-balled little girly men, like you called them.
I never saw anything like this. This was the clearest case of police brutality I've ever seen, and the audience of Ritalin Head sat there doing nothing. The only people who acted were the girls. The women were screaming. The boys sat there like D-balled sheeple.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, all it takes is one person to stand up and rush those cops, body slam them to the ground. And then everyone else would join in. And you know what? It sends a message. If you're going to brutalize people like that.
Well, how do you feel about guys like the leprechaun taking the side of the taser cops?
You know what? He's a phony. He probably wouldn't even know what happened. He would automatically take the side of the police. Law and order. Oh, yeah, law and order.
You're right. Got it. Law and order. That's.
The enemies of Islam think that they can, with cheap doings, like challenging the Islamic...
Ahmadinejad is the Hitler of our time. Now, picture this. It's 1939 on the brink of World War II. Hitler has been rearming. Hitler has already invaded Poland, and he's invited to the United States to New York City. And the mayor says, hey, let's give you a tour of the Statue of Liberty, Hitler, because we're going to show what a nice guy you are. Well... that was Bloomberg's idea, according to all reports this morning. I guess that way he could show that he's internationally famous or something. But it was shot down today by the Secret Service and the they say the Secret Service and the NYPD. God knows who really shot this down. I pray it was from a higher level than that. Should Ahmadinejad, the Iranian Hitler, be arrested while he is here, waterboarded until he admits he wears elevator shoes? 1-800-449-8255. I'd actually like to see him arrested, taken in a black hood to a secret location and tried for crimes against humanity, for funding terrorist activity all through the world, and then executed within 30 days. And I'd like to give him a few ACLU lawyers to defend him and give his appeal. I'd like to take the chief bug from the ACLU and put him in a cell with Ahmadinejad for 30 days and then have him tried for complicity in the murders around the world. And then let's see him be given the justice he deserves, that pockmarked pervert who runs the ACLU. How does the FBI let a perverted scum like the ACLU tell them how to conduct national security policy? There's a story that I put up on the website. Muslims got the pockmarked freak from the ACLU, the pervert who runs the ACLU, to sue the FBI because they were being surveyed, meaning they were watching Muslim communities. This would be the equivalent of a 1939, again, as an analogy, that Germans who were being watched, German-American communities are being watched to see if there were any hidden Gestapo agents in their community, suing the FBI saying that you've been illegally watching us and bugging our communities to catch a spy. It wouldn't have happened. Any lawyer who would have brought such a lawsuit would have immediately been rounded up by the FBI and tried himself for sedition. That's what we need in a country. Damn it, if I had the power to arrest them all, I take out the entire leadership of the National Lawyers Guild and the FBI. I try them all. I give them 30 days. 30 days I would try them, and I'd put them away for life for what they've done to this country. I'd seize their assets. I'd seize their family's assets. I'd seize their grandchildren's assets. I'd break their trusts and seize their assets. It's unbelievable to me how far we have fallen as a nation, that we don't have anybody in charge, that we let even a pervert in the ACLU dictate to the FBI what our national security needs are. It's unbelievable to me. But wait, the stories get even worse. If you think it's bad, I tell you, today's not a very good day for the news. It's not a good day at all. It is not a good day. We're going to cover this a little later, but on my website again, where I put all my stories that I don't get to, it's this one. China is building the world's largest navy as the U.S. sea power is in absolute decline. It's by Cliff Kincaid on MichaelSavage.com. And you're not going to believe what he says. He says all of the Navy has been penetrated at the highest level by liberals and liberalism. All the lawyers in the Navy are liberals. Admiral Mullen is a liberal who went to China and came back saying, wowee, the Chinese let me sit inside a fighter plane. Then he gave them access to every ship. When I was on the Stennis last year, there was a contingent of Chinese journalists, so-called. They were all spies, pretty little girls with cameras. They were given access to every corner of that ship. With, I think, the exception of the nuclear reactor room, I'm not sure which, they were clicking every corner of the ship. Every corner of our aircraft carrier was photographed by these Chinese spies. Who's running anything anymore? Who is at the helm? Who is at the helm of our country? What in the heck happened to America? It's like I woke up like Alice in Wonderland here. Or Rip Van Savage woke up and the whole country's been gutted. Ahmadinejad from Iran is coming to New York City, and he's not going to be arrested and tried for crimes against humanity? What world am I living in? You got a chance to grab Hitler now, and you don't take Hitler out and try him? It's unbelievable to me. I say the Iranian Hitler should be arrested and waterboarded until he admits he wears elevator shoes. Philip in Austin, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Just the waterboarded till he wears elevator shoes. I hope. Did you make that up on the fly? It just killed me. It was so funny.
Of course I made it up on the fly. That's the nature of the show.
It was painful. But I did.
It is painful because what it is this. You got to understand, Philip, which you probably do, that the only power we have as powerless citizens in this country is the power of observation and ridicule. And when they take away our ability to ridicule public officials, both national and international, we are then living in a fascist dictatorship. That's what the Islamic fascists are doing in Europe. If anyone cartoons Muhammad for what he really was, they then put him on a hit list. Do you understand that, Philip?
Oh, I'd be afraid, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there are internment camps. They were used in World War II. We should use them again in this country. Anyone who threatens journalists because they don't like what he says should be put in an internment camp. Thanks for the call. WOR in New York City, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I'm just so upset and just disgusted that this guy can even request to have a tour of our city after he is responsible for, like, by supporting these terrorist groups. He's partially responsible.
That would be as though if Hitler was alive after World War II and he wanted to request a visit to a crematoria, let's say outside of Germany or German-occupied territories, that he'd like to tour the crematoria where the people were killed under his direct orders.
That's exactly what it's like. It's disgusting. It's like I can't believe he would.
Well, there is going to be a huge protest in New York City against Iran's Hitler, organized by Jewish groups. Thank God they still have some kind of brains and leadership. I didn't know they did. So why don't you join them? If I were in New York, I'd be there with 10,000 people. Thanks for the call. I am not, and I'm not flying to New York for this. Houston, Texas. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes. Number one, I'd vote with you on your indictment during your trial on the Iranian
indictment. Theory. Yes, you'd indict him and you'd waterboard him until he admitted he wears elevator shoes.
And the only thing that would be better if he brought Assad along with him.
Mm-hmm. His who along with him?
You know, the president of Syria, Assad.
Yeah, why is that guy so weird looking? There's like almost like a medical disease that I'm thinking of when I look at Assad of Syria.
Well,
like, not gigantism. It's almost like the dwarf and the giant.
Well, I'm sure the father did some inbreeding there to keep the gene pool kind of narrowed.
Yeah, he does look like the father. There's a weirdness about the neck and shoulders. They have very narrow shoulders, an extraordinarily elongated neck, and something odd about the cranium. But what else are you calling about?
I'm calling about this, the entire video. And, you know, he was no different than anybody that goes to these political events where they get, you know, they ask you for a question, but they always want to give a speech before they get to their question. And that kid was no different than anybody else that goes to these political events in that regard.
Now, Drudge had the YouTube video up. I have a different one up. I have both of them up on my website. You've got to see the other videotape. It is totally different than what the media is reporting. Boise, Idaho. Mark, you disagree. Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I say let Manajad come to New York and let's hold him as a hostage for 444 days. See how he likes
it. Amen. Amen.
Actually, number two, you asked about John Kerry, and I personally think he's a non-entity. He's a washed-up old politician. It really doesn't matter what he's saying. But quite honestly, on that tasing issue, I think you're wrong on that, only because I've seen about five videos on the Internet. And that kid was not handcuffed prior to being tased. Clearly, you can see his arm coming up, and he's trying to push the officers away. Now, those officers did, I think, the right thing in trying to take him into custody.
Well, what kind of officers, where five of them can't control a college kid like this? He's not a gang member. He's not a martial artist. He's just like a crazy little kid, a crazy big kid. Why were they unable to control him, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know what. Maybe he had drugs on board. I don't know if maybe he was.
Why don't you look? Go and look on my website. You'll see that the women come up to his pectoral muscles. Does that possibly answer some of the problems in this picture?
Well, in the video that I've seen, he clearly was not handcuffed.
The one I have on ABC2News.com, he was handcuffed, then tasered by one of the little women. They used affirmative action to hire women who have no business being police officers. They should work in a nursery school. Thank you for the call. Look, this is a controversial issue. That's all. Portland, Oregon. Mike, KXL Country. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. The tasing incident outrages me for a lot of reasons, but he should have never been tased. It should have never gone to that. But also, you know, you go back 35 years, and that could have been John Kerry. He got his start by being a political protester. He should have stood up for the kid. And also, if this kid were...
Well, John Kerry, as the senator who was almost president, but for the grace of lawyers, Kerry, as I've said over and over again, if he was truly a leader, would have been able to control that situation. He couldn't control a lecture hall. Therefore, he couldn't control a nation. He's indicated that he's a useless idiot. But that, you know, he's part of the problem, but the undersized, shrimpy women police are the real problem. They're rent-a-cops on campuses. And unfortunately, police departments around America have these weakling women on the forces. And as a result, there's a lot of extreme force being used where it's not necessary. I could show you five cases in the last year alone where women either had their guns pulled out of their pockets in cities or women were overpowered by strong felons and had to resort to shooting them dead because they didn't have the physical power to wrestle the guy to the ground. These women are out of they're not able to do this job. If she's a big woman, if she's a tough woman, if she can prove she can bring down a 250-pound man with her physical being, God bless her. But not when you hire 4'9" freakos and put a police uniform on them because that's what they use after work in their sex acts. Thanks for the call. KNEW, San Francisco. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was listening to what you said about the affirmative action. If you listen to the tape, right before he gets tasered, you can hear a female's voice telling me, I don't know if she's saying, don't move or get up or whatever. She sounds scared. And I think
she was hysterical because she was not able to do her job. That is why she is on leave. She is going to be found guilty and fired. And when he sues the university, I can guarantee you he'll win millions of dollars. And these two women, one of them is going to go to jail. Well, I think she should be in prison. Whoever shot him with the taser should go to prison for this situation. Iran's Hitler is the issue. Cincinnati, Ohio is the city. Doug is the caller. This is the Savage Nation. Doug, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I got a comment about that. I think it's great that he's not going to be able to visit the site, but my concern is I doubt that it's out of sensitivity for the Americans and for the lives that were lost there. I'd like to hear somebody say that it is, but it's probably for his own protection.
Oh, my God. You know, you're probably right. You're faster than I am. In other words, I celebrated for the wrong reasons. So, in other words, the NYPD said we can't guarantee his safety? That some zealous American is liable to kill him?
I would guess that's the case. It's unfortunate. I'd like to hear somebody say otherwise. I'd like to hear somebody say it's out of sensitivity for the lives lost. But
that's unbelievable to me. Doug, you're a really smart guy. Let me send you a copy of the DVD, the Freedom of Speech Award. You deserve it, my friend. I have the best callers in the United States of America. If any of these topics appeal to you, the tasering, the Iranian Hitler not being allowed to visit Ground Zero, Jack Murtha, the fraud, cornered over false charges against our Haditha Marines, China building the world's largest Navy, 1,000 ships, as our fleet is in decline, class action legal shark William Larouche going to jail. What do you think about class action lawyers in general? Should they go to prison? Should class action lawyers all be rounded up and imprisoned, their assets seized, the assets of their children seized, the assets of their grandchildren seized, the assets of their trusts opened up and taken out and given back to the businesses they robbed? Yes or no? I'll be right back. You know how I've criticized knee-jerk liberalism for all these years? Well, what you have here is knee-jerk conservatism. Cops good, no matter what they do. This is insanity. If you use your eyes and you put away the blinders and take away your preconceived opinions and watch the video, these cops were unable to control this kid, and they were hysterical. They made him hysterical, and they tasered him. It was all wrong on their part from the beginning to the end. Kerry was absolutely impotent in the situation, and you don't even understand what's at stake if you're taking the side of the rent-the-cops here. You're on the side of totalitarian dictatorship. I heard the leprechaun go on the air today and say, the kid overstepped the line. The kid overstepped his position. The kid asked the question of the senator that he shouldn't have asked. Well, O'Reilly belongs in the ex-Soviet Union if that's the way he believes this country should be run. Are we going to wake up and then be tasered in order to intimidate them so they know how to behave the next time a senator comes to town and they go to a town hall meeting? There should be random tasering for any adult over 20. The way we get colonoscopies, everyone should be tasered over the age of 20 so that we're intimidated in advance. That's stupid. But I'm trying to make a point. These people don't even understand what they're saying. Chicago, Illinois. Craig, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I need to save you here. I think you're playing right into his trap. There's been reports that he gave a video camera to a girl and says, make sure you get this. And he went outside the boundaries of the protocol for the forum.
Whoa. Now you're repeating everything you heard on radio today. Outside the boundaries of the protocol? What are you saying? He asked an embarrassing question of John Kerry? That shouldn't be allowed?
Well, I mean,
Whoa. What do you mean you mean? You mean he asked, are you a member of Skull and Bones like George Bush? Is that what you mean by out of the bounds of the protocol?
And on. Well over his time limit that was allowed.
Well, then they dragged his carcass out and cremated it and not permitted any autopsy. Because he went over the bounds of the protocol of the debate. You're right, Craig. They should have shot him and cremated him.
He was doing everything he could. And when he was in the stairwells, he was calm and docile. But once the cameras were back on, he was ranting and raving.
Of course he was calm. He had just been shocked with 50,000 volts. And then he recovered from it. You'd be calm, too, at that point, wouldn't you? That's like electroshock therapy. Everyone's calm 5 minutes later. See, you're buying into the propaganda of the government media complex who says he was wrong. The police were right. Why is it all of a sudden that the police were right here and the police are wrong in every other case? Tell me why is that, Craig? Why are the police usually wrong to the media, but they were right? Why did the media suddenly take the side of the police? Can you figure this one out? They attack the police every day in every case. But in this case, they love the police. Why do you suppose that is, Craig? Could it be because they're protecting John Kerry?
They're not as gullible. This kid was playing a game. He wanted to get on YouTube. He wanted to be famous, and you're buying into it.
You're wrong. You're listening to Hush Bimbo. You're listening to knee-jerk conservatives who are trying to appease police to check Arbitron books. Thanks for the call. You don't even understand the picture. The tasering was completely wrong. Mark it down that I said it on September 18th and September 19th. There's going to be an investigation. There's going to be a review. That cop is going to jail or going to be fired, and he's going to win millions of dollars. I'm all in favor of police using necessary force. Do you know what necessary force is? Study the books. The police are very well trained in this if they're police. Campus police are not police. They're rent-a-cops. They're security guards, one stage above security guards. There are no, absolutely no standards to be a campus cop, none whatsoever. Well, the good news is that Iran's Hitler is not coming to ground zero, but the bad news is Iran's Hitler is coming to the UN, and he's going to insult George Bush and insult America. Well, on the other hand, I suppose that will appeal to the Democrats, which is why he's coming. I'm surprised that Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the Democrats won't be sitting behind them wearing headscarves and cheering him on as he puts down America and puts down George Bush. Caney W., Danielle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I want to know who is responsible for letting this Hitler in a headscarf pawn scum into my country. My husband went to Afghanistan, missed the birth of his beautiful firstborn child, fighting these Islamo-fascists. This scum wants to annihilate Israel. Do people not understand? If he had the chance, he would do it to America. Sir, why? Why is he coming to this country?
Why? Your outrage is the perfect answer to the question. There is no outrage except from people like yourself and me. This man should be arrested on arrival, tried for crimes against humanity, given one appeal and then executed. That's my opinion. He should not be permitted to leave this country alive. How do you like that?
No, he shouldn't. And you know what? My husband, who is a man, would be the first one in line to waterboard that SOB. And
good.
I, even as
I'm sending you a free copy of The Political Zoo and a free copy of my video tape. God, I you know, it's the women like this will save America. The men have lost it. The women
Savage.
Haven't.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I want to start with some stories from the bottom of my webpage. The Muslim pressure groups are out of control. They're now dictating our national security policy. And CAIR, the questionable pressure group, working in cahoots with the leftist radical scum at the ACLU, are suing the FBI today to force the agency to release the names of Muslims who were surveyed by the FBI. Now, if you want the security of America in the hands of a pervert in the ACLU and radicals inside CAIR, then you're living in the perfect nation. Above that is another story. The Muslim ringleader of the St. Louis weapons group that was found trying to buy a machine gun and a landmine in an FBI sting was given only 5 months in prison. The prosecutor is shocked. The FBI is shocked. The American legal system is in disrepair because liberals rule the courts. Underneath that is women of the Israeli army. Click here for the video page. It's really astoundingly beautiful to look at. They look just like the girls on Sunset Boulevard, except instead of puking on themselves, you can see them manning an M1 or driving a tank or parachuting out of a plane. And there's something to be said for universal suffrage when it comes to a draft in the United States of America. I think it would save this country to get the girls off the streets and into a parachute. Above that, there are other stories that I want to point out to you on michaelsavage.com. This is not a made-up story. The new deputy chair of the United Nations Nuclear Agency may be none other than the freak of Syria. I swear to you, the new deputy chair of a UN nuclear agency might be from Syria. Everything's upside down. Illegal immigrant pleads guilty to killing a Marine and his date in a DUI crash. As you well know, the DUIs in this country are inordinately caused by illegal aliens. They drive drunk as a part of their national sport, and then they flee the country and go home and come back with a new identity entirely. Above that, a church that is sheltering an illegal immigrant from Mexico and a U.S.-born infant son will be billed nearly $40,000 for the city police presence during the protest. Thank God. The mayor has had enough of these illegal aliens using our cops to protect them, and they warned the church not to house this woman. They said if you do, it's going to cost the city overtime, and we don't want the city to become a sanctuary city. They're now billing the church $40,000. God bless the mayor of that particular city, and you could find it up on michaelsavage.com. It's a small city, but it's a great step for freedom and truth in this country, and it's here in California, strangely enough, that the city has stood up to this illegal alien horde trying to take over our country from the inside out. It comes from Simi Valley, California. Mayor Paul Miller, who called United Church of Christ congregants irresponsible for harboring an illegal immigrant, told the city council yesterday that he was ready to issue the $40,000 invoice right away. He said the city council has the obligation to protect all citizens in the community against any potential violence as a result of these ill-conceived actions, and you're going to pay for it. That's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The United Church of Christ, as you well know, has very little to do with Christ and a lot to do with community. Emphasis on the four letters at the beginning of that word, C-O-M-M. And now on to the callers. Los Angeles, May, 8:30 on the dial. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for accepting my call. I want to tell you right now that I happened to be in the VIP lounge in Dallas, and John Wayne was in there. I was ushered in with my husband and his wife, and there was a young sailor, and you made a reference point earlier in your program to what John Wayne would have done. You're 1,001% correct. Because
when I said earlier that if John Wayne was playing John Kerry and this incident that occurred in Florida, he would have stopped the police saying, now, let the young man go. It's okay. In other words, he would have asserted masculine control and taken control of the situation. But Kerry's a fraud. Kerry is a fake through and through.
Fantastic, fantastic is what he is, because John Wayne went over to this young sailor who had lost his father and went out of his way to help him. You're 1,001% correct on him.
Absolutely. And God bless you for listening to the Savage Nation in Los Angeles, which can't be too easy. Don't play your radio too loud, because the neighbors are liable to call the Fatasses to come and arrest you. That's my pet name for the police in Los Angeles in that area. I once wrote a novel a number of years ago where I envisioned – I wrote it in 1984, a short story, where I envisioned the police becoming almost entirely women under 5 feet tall with very, very large butts, very small heads, and very small or indistinguishable souls. And they had clubs and pepper spray and tasers, and I gave them a name called the Fatasses. And I said, in this imaginary future, the Fatasses walk around beating people with clubs and spraying them with pepper spray if they don't conform to the government media complex demands upon them. And here we are. We've got knee-jerk conservatives, Bimbo, the leprechaun, porn vanity. They're not police. Maybe it would be easier for you if you recognize that not everybody who wears a badge is a cop. They're security guards. They're night watchmen. They're basically unlicensed security guards. They're like department store police. They're not much higher than that. There are no standards for university police that virtually anybody can't get into that job. That's why this happened. 1-800-449-8255, WOR, New York City. Brendan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I was just commenting on what you had said earlier, and what I see on the Long Island Railroad going in as cadets for our New York City Police Department,
yeah,
it's a disgrace.
What do they look like?
The people that are I'm going to put in charge to protect this great city out here.
Give me a picture. Tell me what they look like, the new police cadets.
You could say 4'11", 4 foot wide.
In other words, if it was a casting call for the Ringling Brothers Freak Show, it would be about the same candidates.
I mean, as a young man, I was scared of the police. They were big guys, big burly guys, and you knew if you got out of line, you were going to get one.
That's how we grew up. That's right. Fear of the police is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
How can you fear somebody 4'11" who looks like Abbott and Costello?
Nobody's afraid of these people. I mean, you laugh at them. I mean, you got these gangs. I mean, it's 4, 5, 6 guys. They look at them and they laugh. They're a joke. It really
is. How many cases have you read about over the last year of women cops, 4'9", 4'10", 4'11", having guns pulled out of their holsters, being overpowered in paddy wagons, so to speak? Over and over again we read about it. And then the cops have to resort to lethal force to subdue the felon. And the reason there's so much use of lethal force is because we have undersized women cops, in fact, undersized men cops, putting the regular-sized police at a disadvantage who have to come to their rescue.
And then they're charged with police brutality because the quote-unquote police that were supposed to be able to take care of these criminals can't.
Exactly. And then if you had two full-size cops in the patrol cars instead of Lou Costello and let's say another bunny in there, you know, it would be a different story. That's how I see it. Let's move on. Saif KNEW, San Francisco. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Saif, you're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
I believe that the president of Iran should be able to go to ground zero because the Iranians actually condemned the September 11 attack, if you remember, when it first happened.
So he's running the country well, according to your analysis.
Yes, he is. He is.
So why aren't you over there? He took the women and put them in burqas. He's banned women from certain jobs. He's turned the clock back like 100 years. Why aren't you there if it's your ideal country? Why are you in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Why aren't you living there in burqa land?
I'm an American citizen.
Well, but you don't like the country. You said that you like the Iranian system better. You just said he's doing a good job.
He is doing a good job, and I do like.
Well, why aren't you there with your whole family instead of living here on welfare plotting a jihad?
Actually, I'm at work right now, and I'm not on welfare.
You're not on welfare? Well, that's good to hear. I'm very glad to hear it. And when did you last meet with your cell planning a bomb?
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. How could you glorify a man who the Iranian people hate, except for the mullahs? Do you know that the Iranian people hate this man, Saif?
They don't hate him. If they did hate him, they wouldn't have elected him.
You know, you're a complete and total fool, and you're a liar. If you really meant what you said, which you don't, you would live in Iran. What is it about America that you like that keeps you here, Saif?
Everything. The freedom.
You like the freedom. Then why don't you want your fellow Iranians to have the freedom you're enjoying?
Well, that's just their way. That's their society, their culture. They want to live like that.
Okay. So executing homosexuals is just their culture. Executing a barber who gives a haircut is their culture. You agree with that?
You don't like homosexuals. I don't know why you're...
Well, I don't want to kill homosexuals. I'm sorry that you do.
I didn't say I did.
Well, you just said you approve of the Iranian system. What is it that you like about Iran? You like the freedom of America, and you also like Iran. What is it you like about Iran? Perhaps I'm not knowledgeable about Iran. What do you like about Iranian society under the Hitler of our time?
The main reason is because they're anti-Zionists.
No, wait. Let's put that aside. What is it about Iranian society today that you like?
That they always chant death to Israel.
You like that?
Yes, I do.
You do? Then why don't you go chant that outside a synagogue?
I will if I had a chance to.
Well, you should, Saif. You should show that you're a good Nazi. I can even suggest where you pick up a used uniform in the city. There's still stores that sell them. You ought to wear the Nazi uniform that your ancestors wore.
It's fine with me, as long as the Israelis...
Would you have fought with the Hitler in World War II, Saif?
No, I wouldn't have.
Well, why not? You like the Hitler of our time. Why wouldn't you have worn the Hitler uniform happily in World War II? Many of your fellow Muslims wore the Nazi uniform very happily. There were many divisions. There were many that wore the Nazi uniform. You probably could have joined a nice Nazi brigade in those days. Why don't you join one now, Saif?
I don't hate Jews. I hate the Zionists.
What is the difference between a Jew and a Zionist, Saif?
The difference is the Zionists believe that there has to be a state of Israel.
I see. And well, why do you believe there has to be a state of Iran? Why do you believe there has to be a Muslim state of Iran? What gives you the right to believe that?
They've always been there.
Always been there? Really, since when have they been a Muslim state of Iran? So for how long has Iran been Muslim?
Probably, I would say roughly 1,000 years, maybe even a little bit longer, maybe around there.
Now, were the Muslims always fascistic? When did the Muslim people become fascist?
Since the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought the religion.
No, you're saying they became fascist since the Prophet Muhammad brought the religion? Is that the statement you just made?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you're saying that Islamics are fascists. Thank you very much for the education. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and singing the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
See, Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet and a genuinely great man. Everyone has flaws in their past, myself included, but he was a great man. I've heard him speak. I was moved by Martin Luther King Jr. But we had a caller just now who was a Nazi, a fascist, an Iranian Nazi, who said that we should let the Hitler of our time come to ground zero, and that he's a great man and that the Iranians are correct because they hate Zionists. Then the Nazi said that he's not anti-Jewish, just anti-Zionist. Now, I want to tell you that Martin Luther King Jr. said the following, and I'm quoting him exactly. Quote, Martin Luther King Jr. said this, when people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews. This is God's own truth, close quote. I'll read it again. Martin Luther King Jr., this is a very important quotation. It should not be forgotten. He said this, not me. When people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews. This is God's own truth, close quote. Now, the American left created this fiction of a division between Zionism and Judaism, or Zionists and Jews. And consequently, they gave a highway of hatred for the neo-fascists of their time and the Islamo-fascists of our time. Cincinnati, Ohio. Sherry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I have a message for Saeed or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. I think he must have forgotten what Mr. Hitler did to the American hostages. So I agree with you. He needs to go over there and live.
Yeah, I don't know why there are so many people there glorifying the world of the Middle East, and yet they stay here collecting the money out of America. Why do you think they're here? He said he loves the freedom, but in Iran there is no freedom. There's no talk radio. There are no free newspapers. Women have been set back at least 100 years. People are hung if they're gay or if they put out newspapers that criticize this little Hitler. Why doesn't Saif go live there? It sounds like a perfect place for him.
It does. It sounds like the perfect place for him.
And he might even be able to join the government and kill people. And then he wouldn't feel so ashamed of himself for being a loser. Thanks for the call. Martin Luther King Jr. said, when people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews. This is God's own truth. That's a quotation. I didn't invent the words. You see, Martin Luther King Jr. was many things to many people, but he was a truthful man to almost all people. And the fact of the matter is, he saw bigotry for what it was. He saw bigotry for what it was. So when he saw the cracker saying, oh, they don't hate the Jew. They hate the Zionist. That kind of caught on. That was kind of snappy. Well, now the Islamofascists, not being too intelligent, they're all dummies by and large. They're pretty stupid. They all have low-paying jobs working in warehouses and what, toilets.
Savage.
This morning, the New York Sun ran this story. U.S. may escort Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, to ground zero. Talks underway after Iranian requests a visit. In a move that has stunned New York, the Bloomberg administration is in discussions to escort the Iranian Hitler, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, to ground zero during his visit to New York next week. Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly said, and so forth and so on. Well, it came out in the last hour that the officials, whoever they may be, rejected Hitler's bid to visit ground zero. The question is, why did he want to go to ground zero? Why would the Hitler of our time, who specializes in irking the West, want to go there? John in Indianapolis, your opinion, please. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I believe the reason that he wants to go there is to celebrate, not to sympathize. He'll bow his head and act like he cares, and he'll be praying to Allah, look what we've done. We'll keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
If he got shot, cut off the head of the snake. The Islam.
I said the man should have been immediately a black hood thrown over his head when he's at the UN. The minute he comes out, he should be arrested, tried for crimes against humanity, crimes against America, given one appeal and then executed. He should never be allowed to leave this country.
He was involved in the Carter administration in the kidnapping. It's been proven of our embassy people.
Don't ask Jimmy Carter to confirm that.
So.
Hey, thank you. No, I agree with you. Now, several presidential candidates quickly condemned the proposed visit of Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time. For example, a spokeswoman for Senator Thompson said, "It is an insult to the memories of those who died on 9/11 at the hands of terrorists and those who have fought terrorism for years to allow the president of the world's top state sponsor of terrorism to step foot at ground zero. Iran is responsible for supplying weapons and supporting extremists who are killing U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan to this very day." That's Fred Thompson's statement. That's very clear and very good. The Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, called the plan shockingly audacious. He said, "It is inconceivable that any consideration would be given to the idea of entertaining the leader of a state sponsor of terror at ground zero." Romney went on. He said, "This would deeply offend the sensibilities of Americans from all corners of our nation. Instead of entertaining Ahmadinejad, we should be indicting him." God bless Mitt Romney. God bless Mitt Romney. Of course, we haven't heard a word from Bush or the Bush bots, nor have we heard a word from Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Charles Edwards, and the other on the other side. Springfield something or other. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. That's Springfield, Massachusetts, or Missouri?
Springfield, Massachusetts, Mike, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First, I'd just like to make a statement and, you know, say you have to keep doing what you're doing at all costs. I feel that your voice is the voice of the people. I think that...
John, let me tell you something. It's getting harder to do every day because every day I see people who were on this side of the line, they've moved the goldfields. The goalposts have been moved. They're now on the other side of the field. They still call themselves conservative, but conservatives... But what comes out of their mouths is actually not conservative.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call. No, that's what I see. You know, I was in the shower this morning. I take one shower a year, and I decided to take it on September 19, 2007. Now, I'm in the shower, and I started to think the media is changing rapidly, and I think I need to go on the air today and talk with my audience, my loyal audience, about my philosophy, my point of view, where I stand on things, and why I stand where I stand. People who have listened to this show since 1994 have noticed one thing, if they've noticed anything, which is that my positions on borders, language, and culture have not varied. I have not modified my positions on social issues at all. In other words, as the country has become increasingly moved to the left by the media and by those in the fraudulent Republican Party. They have in the media moved with them, figuring that's where the audience has gone. I don't see it that way, but even if I did, I wouldn't change my position for one reason. Not because I'm pigheaded. It's because I know what's right and I know what's wrong. You give me the issue and I will evaluate it from the point of view of a moral compass. There's a right and there's a wrong. There's an American position and there's an un-American position. There's a position that I know is biblically correct and a position that is biblically incorrect. There's a position that is healthy for this nation and there's a position that is unhealthy for the nation. And I make my decisions based upon those parameters, not upon whether the audience wants me to say this or I think or I sensed with my finger in the air with the moisture on it that the wind is blowing that way. Many of the people who called themselves conservatives and were until a few years ago are very good weathermen. And they know which way the wind blows, so they think. And so they put their finger up and they see the wind blowing towards the Democrats and Hillary. And suddenly they come up with statements that are very almost identical, really, to the Democrats. But they're posed in a way that make you think that they're conservatives. I don't see it that way. It's as simple as that. We finally have an Iranian calling who will tell you what is going on in Iran right now. The Iranian people are suffering violently under this Hitler in elevator shoes. Rieza in Cincinnati, tell it like it is. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'm an American-Iranian. I just I was very upset when this gentleman called and saying stuff like it's not absolutely true because he's not Iranian. First of all, you had to live in Iran and to see what's going on over there. 90% of Iranian people are against Iranian government.
Hold on. Let me repeat that. 90% of the Iranian people are against the Iranian government. I know that. And it's also true that the cost of goods, of food, it has gone up several thousand percent under this man. Isn't that true?
That's true. Since actually he became president. Before he became president, he permits the poor people. He's bringing the oil money to the people, which is actually country. It's like the second biggest country from oil produce and people.
I know. Look, Reza, I have some Iranian, not associates, but Iranian people I've run into who've told me what's going on in that great country. It is an ancient and beautiful land, and it deserves better than this Hitler. And the day should come that he is executed for crimes against humanity and the Iranian people are liberated. I believe if he were executed, the Iranian people would dance in the streets. I think you agree with me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Mike, you don't believe how many Iranian intellectuals right now that are sitting in the present in the Evin in Tehran. So how many Iranian since revolution?
Oh, wait, you're saying sitting in prison in Tehran?
In Tehran, Evin, they call Evin. Okay, so I know many.
I got it. I hear you. I got it. North Carolina, Ryan, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'll get right to my point. I just wanted to say that it would be a bad idea for the United States to get to attack Iran for the simple reason that it's about the same size as the United States. Most of the population lives on the coast, and it's a highly mountainous region, which would make it very hard and for us to actually go in there, win, and very hard for us to support logistically.
Well, you're correct if you are thinking of a land attack, but there have been stories coming out this week, which unfortunately have been dropped from my website, showing the thousands of sites that have been targeted by the United States Air Force and apparently by the French and by others unnamed. Apparently, they are planning an aerial campaign that will last several days against the major military sites, knocking out as many military installations as possible and then taking out the nuclear facilities, as many as possible. And therefore, breaking Iran over the anvil finally and liberating the Iranian people. Because once that happens, they won't tolerate him. So, no, of course we can't invade Iran. But what do you think our Air Force and our ships might be able to do to the Iranian military?
I think that with a lot of their outdated equipment, that we would be able to knock out about a quarter within a couple of weeks. However, they have dug in much of their command control and communications because they have been expecting us to go into their
Yes, but we have nuclear tip bunker busting bombs that could penetrate down to the level of their command and control centers, according to what I've read. I'm no military expert, but I do read this stuff. And I believe finally George Bush is going to give this Hitler the muscular response that he should have given him a year ago. This man's been threatening the world for years now. He's exactly a copy of Adolf Hitler.
I agree.
Do you realize had Hitler been killed in 1939, World War II could have been avoided?
I agree.
Well, that's the whole point. Those who do not remember their history are condemned to repeat it. Why must we repeat the mistake of World War II and let another Hitler arise and then be dragged into World War III after they have a nuclear weapon when we could knock him out before they get a nuclear weapon? Why is that not logical to you?
Well, what I'm worried about is it being a repeat of World War I, whereas, you know, the Russians might see themselves being threatened. They're an atomic power. The Chinese seeing themselves
Well, now you raise a very, very important point. That's how World War I started, where all the great powers were dragged in reluctantly and millions of men died for nothing. I agree with that. And so I would expect that there'd be some very serious diplomacy ahead of such an aerial campaign with China and with Russia, who on the face of it might object to such an attack, but at the end of the day would probably welcome it because they do not want a nuclear-powered Iran in the belly of their own beast. Do you think that China, Chinese leaders, the red Chinese leaders, want a nuclear-powered Iran? I don't think so. And what is the advantage to Russia to have a nuclear-powered Iran? Tell me the advantage to Russia.
There's no advantage to Russia, but there is an advantage to China. And
what is that? Tell me what the advantage to China might be.
It's a weakened United States. They've already hacked into the Pentagon's computers about a month ago. You can check into the Army Times that was printed.
Well, all right, that I agree with you. China is not our ally. I understand that. That's a very big problem. In fact, the story that I posted today from the World Tribune on China building a 1,000-ship navy, which will be the world's largest navy, while we are diminishing the size of our navy, is very, very worrisome. Have you seen that story, Ryan?
No, I have not.
Please, if you're interested, go and read it on michaelsavage.com. We linked up. Cliff Kincaid wrote that story. It's an amazing story. And he says that China is building a 1,000-ship navy. I got to read you some of this. I'm not going to read you the whole story. China is building the world's largest navy as U.S. sea power is in absolute decline. He writes, did you know that China could become the world's leading naval power by 2020? And he explains why he says that. And he talks about a false treaty that we're about to sign called the UN Law of the Sea Treaty, and how our leaders are being taken in by this treaty and are being fooled by it. And he says, like the illegal alien amnesty bill, our Senate leaders in cahoots with Bush administration officials are trying to rush this through. He says it remains to be seen whether the American people will wake up in time. Can we count on the media to blow the whistle? The betting here is that talk radio and the internet will have to carry the load. We stopped the illegal alien amnesty bill. We better stop the Senate from rushing into an embrace of this treaty, and you have to read about this to understand it. Now, why is this happening? It is happening, he said, as we're reducing the number of ships that we have, because, he said, our military leaders, so-called, have become completely liberalized. And he says U.S. national security has given way to securing, quote, the global community. Listen to this. He said it also declares in a book written for the Navy, quote, diversity is a strategic imperative for the U.S. Navy so that it can be more relevant. Did you hear this? He says the Navy has not only been infected with the disease we all know as political correctness, but it has come under the influence of international lawyers who pay homage to the U.N. Asked why U.S. Navy officials were supporting UNCLOS, UNCLOS, one Navy commander with an important position in the Department of the Navy told me, quote, the political leaders don't really understand the issue, and they all listen to the lawyers, and the lawyers are all liberal. It is absolutely the problem. The Navy JAGS and the OGC are liberal. It is a tragedy. So they're obsessed with diversity in the Navy. Now, I was on only two ships in the last few years. I'm no expert on the Navy. But I will tell you that it is a very professional Navy, and I'm actually quite confident in the ship, despite the the influence of diversity. I think the ships run really well. The issue is not diversity amongst the people, the men and women down below. The issue is the liberalism of the admirals at the top. Houston, Texas, Mike, KPRC country, you're on the Savage Nation. What's the topic, please?
It's in response to Saif and shows to the real heart of why we really do need to fight this battle. Because it really, when he spoke about Zionism versus Judaism, I think he was actually choosing his words very selectively, because we as a nation supporting Israel to be able to exist could be considered Zionistic in his mind. And it basically, he said that he wanted to kill anybody that was Zionistic. That's us.
Yeah, Saif is the enemy within. There are probably hundreds of thousands of Saifs here working in menial jobs. Some of them not in menial jobs, who must be rooted out, they must be uncovered, and they must be deported. And the FBI is doing a very good job of it, but just today, the ACLU has joined with the CAIR Illegitimi to sue the FBI, precisely because they're trying to uncover the Saifs in this country before they set off their bombs. And that's why the ACLU is so dangerous, Mike. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Quickly winding down to the end of this hour on the Savage Nation, all the stories I have spoken about and the others I haven't yet gotten to are on michaelsavage.com. Please visit the site and support the Savage Nation. WOR, New York. Vince, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Lately, you seem to be all over the map as far as your positions on left and right. For example, I mean...
Sir, excuse me. That is called independence of thought. I realize that that's shocking to a person as didactic as yourself, but independence means evaluating a situation and coming up with your own conclusion, not with a conclusion that is preordained.
You have to align yourself with who most closely resembles your points of view to bring your causes forward. Otherwise,
give me a specific. What is it that's got the what's the pebble in your shoe? What don't you like?
This thing that's really bothering me is how you're supporting this red doper diaper baby who set this whole thing in, at the Florida State University. It's a staged thing.
Immediately euthanized if the gun didn't kill him. Is that what you're saying?
No. He staged this whole
thing. Then he should have been executed for staging it.
Carried out, but don't forget he's a red...
Wait. Of course he should have been carried out, but not tasered. That was my point.
Asking to be tasered. His words were, don't taser me. He's basically saying, do it to me. I'm having someone video...
You know you're insane. Do you know that you're insane? He said, don't taser me, bro. He's screaming and they taser him? Are you crazy?
I'm not crazy.
He begged them not to taser him. He saw the mean little fat-behinded, small-headed, substandard woman, if you want to call it that, pull out the taser gun. And he saw the flames in her eyes as she was going to get her rocks off, sadistically shooting him with a taser gun. You're all wrong. The cops lost control of it. They're the ones who should go to jail, not this kid. The real thing that you're all missing, because you bought into the government media complex, you bought it hook, line, and sinker, is the question this kid asked that triggered the tasering incident. The minute he said, are you a member of Skull and Bones, one of Kerry's flacks signaled the police to drag him away. It was right out of the ex-Soviet Union. You schmucks don't even know you're living in a fascist dictatorship if you're supporting the cops in this case. And they're not cops, damn it. How many times do I have to tell you that? They're rent-a-cops. They're security guards. They're not more than a night watchman. There are no standards for campus police that virtually anybody cannot meet. Even a creep like that Saif could become a campus cop. The fact of the matter is, professional police of the proper size could have subdued this child rapidly. They could have taken him down. They could have used pepper spray. They could have used a club in a pressure point and reduced him to a blubbering little hulk and then cuffed him. So the fact of the matter is, you are calling for a totalitarian state if you are saying anybody who overstays his allotted time during a so-called town hall meeting should be tasered. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're not a conservative. You're a totalitarian dupe. You're a fool. Ask anybody who lived in the Soviet Union. They'll tell you I'm right and that you're a moron.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It seems to me liberalism, the disease, has now spread and metastasized into the Republican Party to an extent unimagined. In fact, it's spread into Fox News to an extent unimagined. Just today, for example, the leprechaun O'Reilly supported the tasering of a college student who had the nerve to ask John Kerry a trying question, saying, well, he had every right. He stepped over the line by asking about skull and bones. Now, never attack the police. That's a liberal position all of a sudden? I don't get this. I don't understand this. Don't these people believe in free speech? Which side are these so-called conservatives on? Why is it that people like Dan Rather were attacked when they went over the line, while so-called conservatives who are taking liberal positions are not even attacked by their own listeners and viewers? Today, for example, on the media, it was ABC, CBS, NBC. It was CNN. It was Fox News. And it was MSNBC. O.J. Simpson all day long. And yet, there are major league stories. For example, later I'll be talking with a scholar who will show how liberals have also penetrated the United States Navy. And we now have an admiral running the U.S. Navy who he says should be running the United Nations Navy. For a long time, when the politicians were corrupt but still loved America, they still loved America. They wouldn't cross a certain line. Well, they've crossed it now. Liberals have taken over every aspect of our society with very rare exception. I want to know why we can't have politicians as we used to. Take a look at Mirtha. Mirtha confronted in an elevator by a member of the Young Americans for Freedom, demanding an apology for his vicious, lying, libelous attack on U.S. Marines causing the Haditha show trials out of Stalin's Russia. And Mirtha had the nerve not to answer the question, saying, did you ever wear the uniform? So that justifies any actions, Mr. Mirtha? Hitler wore the uniform in World War I. Mussolini wore the uniform in World War II. Tojo wore the uniform in World War II. What the heck does wearing the uniform have to do with it? You wore the uniform, and you're a Benedict Arnold, who also wore the uniform. Play the music.
I like my mama's food. It's so good to me. Her meatballs have the spice that make them taste so nice. A little wine after we dine makes you feel so doggone fine. My mama's a cooking. It's so good to me.
I go to a restaurant. I was eating alone. And because it was cold out here on the West Coast for two nights. Cold. Like winter, which I love. I wore a pea coat, a leather jacket. But to make a long story short, it's cold. So I, for the first time this summer, I stopped drinking beer. And I start drinking wine. And shockingly, I drink red wine. And it's Italian red wine. It's a so-called Super Tuscan, 70% Sangiovese, 30% Cabernet Sauvignon. Half a bottle, calamari spaghetti, boom, home, no headache, perfect. Slept like a baby, like someone had injected my muscles with like a muscle relaxant. There is no question red wine has a powerful effect. And I don't drink it because I get sick from it. When the weather goes below 60 degrees Fahrenheit, I can drink red wine. If it's above 60 degrees, so help me God. See, I'm a natural man. Now, let me explain to you why I'm telling you this story. There's a point to it that you probably won't accept because most of you are not in touch with your bodies. I'm probably the most natural man left on the planet. In the sense, I'm the closest thing to an actual savage. In the truest sense of what sauvage means. And you have to read La Pensée Sauvage by a great anthropologist in order to understand the mind of the savage. You can't just jokingly say that man is a savage and think that that means he's brutal and he's ruthless. It doesn't apply. You might say that man is a radical Islamist. that would be a better description of what you're trying to say than that man is a savage, because not all savages are as ruthless as the throwbacks. But having said that, here comes the point of the story. So I'm sitting there enjoying the meal, and what's next to me? I mean, a person. What people are next to me? There's a 60-year-old white male, tall and thin, partially bald, looks like he's on a date. His date is some girl from woman. She must be a youngster, about 45. Maybe he met her on the internet. I don't know, a dating service. And this was like their first date. And I'm trying not to listen. Well, I don't know. She got gassed up. She must have been into the dessert course because she got quite loquacious. What came out of this, she was either French or Italian. She spoke very good English, but with a noticeable accent, that Euro trash accent that poses as class. Let me put it to you that way. And every phrase out of her mouth was politically correct garbage. The biggest story, and I'm trying not to listen, I was praying for a momentary Rush Limbaugh of the ear, but it didn't happen. I was thinking of taking a piece of dough and putting it into my left ear. I couldn't take it. I started to squirm in the chair. I was getting like a direct megaphone. I think she was talking through him at me, thinking she must have been scoring points with everyone around her for her brilliance. It went like this. Oh, well, when I was in Ibiza, we were dancing, and there was a black man there, and he was very shy. So I came off the floor, and I reached out to him, and I danced with him, and he said, blah, 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 no one's ever done this for me before, and don't you think it's wonderful? Now, it was like that, okay? Every story had a politically correct twist to it. And, of course, her so-called date was agreeing with everything because he figured he'd get lucky at the end of the night. Well, see, most guys have a theory about women. If you stuff them with food and you listen to them chatter and you agree with everything they say, you'll get what you want from them. It's a horrible thing to do to women, but that's what most men do. I think she was looking for a good argument from me, and she didn't even know me. I think she was trying to get someone to say, shut up already. You know what I mean? Put a cannoli in your yap and shut up already. We're playing Italian music because I have a treat for you. I found the poem When Pasta Was Spaghetti in my archives. It was written, let's see, Michael Savage, August 1985, written in a lightning storm at 40,000 feet over Cheyenne, Wyoming. When I thought the plane was going to crash, I wrote When Pasta Was Spaghetti. So here it is, whether you like it or not, all right? So you liberals get ready to sneer, and you sane people get ready to enjoy it because it's a wonderful poem. So play the music again. Go ahead. They got the mood. We got the mood set up. It's called When Pasta Was Spaghetti, and try to imagine it, all right? The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then, in neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve. There was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smiles scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Play the music, basta. Very good. I'll do that for private readings for $100,000 for my favorite charity, which is the Paul Revere Society. You want me at your party? You want me at your party? I'll come and read when pasta with spaghetti. What if I actually had a gangster call me up? Like, all right, Mike, we want you to come read that pasta with spaghetti. I'll give you $100,000, nothing to us. I would do it. I would do it for $10,000, let's say. I read that Chicken Behind gets $1 million per private performance. Could you believe this? The guy started as a street mime in San Francisco. $1 million, they say, gets for personal performance at someone's party. Unbelievable. I mean, there is a price at which you'll be a clown. That's all. That got me through my 18th year when I thought I was too good for anything. You ever go through that? That's how a lot of people wind up bums. They're too good to do anything, so they wind up doing nothing. They wind up living in their parents' house smoking dope. But they're waiting to, you know, be discovered. Everyone's got to sell out. You just got to, you know, just sell out for the highest price you can. That's the whole story. Savage. Instead of crushing the enemy, we apologize for our strength. Ahmadinejad should be arrested when he's in New York. He should be tried for mass murder while he's in New York. Why in the world are we apologizing to China for our naval strength? Why are we apologizing to Iran for invading Iraq? Why are we not attacking? Why are we apologizing? What has happened to this country?
My whole life, I don't apologize to take care of my family, and I refuse to be a fool. Dancing on the string held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone, something.
You know, I am so amazed by that line because I remember it. I mean, I haven't heard it in so many years. But when that movie came out, 72, my father had just died in 70. I remember they were shooting it, and it was about, you know, the Italians on the Lower East Side, and I knew my dad would have loved that movie. Of course, he died. He didn't see it. But when I saw that, and he talks to his son in that way, it was so unbelievably touching for me. And I'm listening back now, and I realized that I was raised in a similar way. Now, don't get me wrong. My father was a simple shopkeeper. He wasn't involved at all in anything illegal. But there's one thing my father taught me from the time I could even stand. Don't be a fool for anybody. I don't know how many times I heard that. He'd shake me. Don't be a schmuck. Don't be a fool. Don't let anybody manipulate you. That's all he cared about. He was so into teaching me self-respect and honor. That's all he cared about. He never said be rich, be powerful, be famous. That's not what he said to me. Don't be anyone's fool is all he cared about. You see, it runs through the European cultures that many of you listening to this show understand. Many of you were raised with the same concept. You aren't told to become the richest guy in the block or the biggest, you know, whatever. If you did, God bless you. But what was more important to your father probably was that you were a man of self-respect and a man who couldn't be pushed around. That was probably more important to many of the men who resonate with me because they hear it in my voice and they know who I am. Doesn't mean I'm no tough guy. That's not the point. Any man could be broken. We're not talking about putting me in a torture chamber. Of course, anybody would crack under that. I'm talking about day to day, by and large, we're talking about 98% of your life, whether it be in an interrelationship, in the street, or wherever. Of course, you're going to pull your shots. You're not going to go into the worst neighborhood in town and be a moron and get yourself killed. But that also takes certain knowledge and self-respect. There's a way to walk through that area and come out of it without being killed and still not be a worm. You could do that too. There's 1,000 varieties of don't be anybody's fool in that one line. Now, you may say, did this come from the movie? Yes, but where did it come from? Came from Mario Puzo's mind. Mario Puzo is the godfather of this movie in that he wrote the book. And I reread it maybe 20 years ago. I haven't since. He was a great storyteller. And Puzo wrote the screenplays as well, GF1, GF2. Three was a disaster. Coppola put his daughter in it. I was in the movie theater when that movie came out. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And it was on Thanksgiving Day? I don't know when. GF3. Opening scene played by, who was the Cuban actor? Andy Garcia? Again, that threw it off. Garcia was pretty good, but it just didn't work. He was supposed to be the illegitimate son of Sonny Corleone, but he didn't carry it. He didn't have the thing. Even though he was a fine actor, he really is. It wasn't right for this role. He was already moving into the Metro look. You see what I mean? It wasn't that hard edge thing. Okay, so, and I'm not knocking Sofia Coppola. I don't know these people. I'm sure they're good people like everyone else. But when she was put into that role as the leading lady, there was a gasp in the auditorium. I heard a gasp go out. Like, what? Are you kidding me? He's supposed to be in love with her? So anyway, I'm just getting a little off the track. But how did any of these movies influence you? I can tell you 10 lines that I know influence people in their business life to this day. Do you know that? How many times have you heard people jokingly say, keep your enemies, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer? And you know what? It starts to become a truism in life. It actually, there's wisdom in some of these movie lines. Well, why not? Why shouldn't there be? Novels in the past contained a lot of inherent wisdom if they were written by intelligent people. So many people quoted novels or carry around lines from novels to lead them through life. I was raised, for example, on my own, books that I self-selected. Hemingway was a huge influence on my life. The masculine ideal, how to behave. You can go to the other direction. Henry Miller influenced me. You can go in another direction, and you could say Jack Kerouac influenced me. All of them had very deep influences on me, as did Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin's naturalistic writings led me in directions. They were very brave men and very unmacho men, but super, super brave men. You take a guy like Alfred Russell Wallace. Many of you never heard of him. He was a naturalist of the 19th century, came from a very poor family. I related to him because while Darwin, who you all heard of, the father of the theory of evolution, came from a distinguished lineage in England. Alfred Russell Wallace came from a rather a poor family. His father was a hosier, and he was a naturalist, self-taught. He co-discovered, meaning at the same time, he co-discovered the theory of evolution. In fact, he was about to publish it prior to Darwin. But being a gentleman of his time, he wrote to Charles Darwin and said, here is my theory. I know you have a similar theory. I will defer to you because you're a gentleman and let you publish first. Can you believe this? So everyone remembers Darwin, but it was Alfred Russell Wallace did as good, if not better, work than Charles Darwin. Now, these were incredibly brave men. The travels that they went through, the deprivation of these travels, the research, the daring, this and that, daring to stand up to the scientific establishment of the day unto itself took a bravery that is incomprehensible. Same way standing up to the political structure of today, believe me, where what they would say to the men of those days if they came with new theories to the royal societies, sir, all of what you say that is old is true, and all that what you say is true, is new, is false. That was fundamentally how they looked upon men who dared to be different. Is it any different today? So in many ways, I was influenced by these counterculture heroes. Incidentally, by the way, everyone I've mentioned to you, everyone that I've mentioned to you was a counterculture hero for some reason. Brando was a counterculture hero.
Savage.
In just a minute, we'll be talking to Cliff Kincaid of Accuracy and Media about the rapid decline of American naval power and the rise of China. We once wanted a 1,000-ship fleet. We now are approaching the smallest naval fleet since World War II. China is building a 1,000-ship navy. Why is this happening? Because the U.S. Navy has been infiltrated by liberals and liberal lawyers and liberal admirals, all kowtowing to Red China and the United Nations. Nobody in the mainstream media is noticing or reporting this. And now I want to welcome Cliff Kincaid. Cliff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks a million for having me on the show. It's an amazing story. Not only is China threatening to become the world's largest and leading naval power, but our own U.S. Navy is now down to only 276, and thinks that we can be protected on the high seas by a piece of paper with a U.N. rubber stamp on it. That is the so-called U.N. Law of the Sea Treaty. Rather than engage in some massive shipbuilding in order to compete on the high seas and protect our economic and national interests, our Navy leaders, unfortunately, have decided to throw in the towel and depend on other nations, including possibly a U.N. Navy, to protect us. This is the sad story that just has to be told, and we just can't let them get away with it, this idea that we can be protected by a piece of paper. You know, Michael, it reminds me of what happened on 9/11 when we thought we were being protected by 19 anti-terrorism treaties that had come out of the United Nations. You know, we had thought, or some people thought, that, oh, my gosh, that offers us a sense of protection. And then we lost almost 3,000 people on 9/11. When are we ever going to get it through our heads that these treaties are not even worth the paper they're printed on, that they offer us a false sense of security and protection, and that we're better off without them, and certainly better off without the U.N.
Oh, big surprise there.
This is a process, the decline of our Navy, that has been going on for many, many years. We were at a high of 594 ships under President Reagan, and now we're down to only 276, going down over the next 17 years to only 180. And there's really no sign of a turnaround here. Now, some of our Navy officials talk about building more ships, but really, instead, they're offering up this notion of a global maritime alliance, a 1,000-ship Navy, they call it, which sounds good, except when you realize that most of those ships are not ours. We're getting into a position now where they say we have to depend on other nations for our protection. This has been a process underway for many, many years. We're getting weaker and weaker, and that's why this Law of the Sea Treaty is a real big diversion from what needs to be done, which is we need to build more ships. We have to be able to defend ourselves, our people, our national and economic security interests on the high seas. We can't rely on the UN to do that for us.
That's incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it, Michael? It's absolutely crazy that we're in this position today, so vulnerable and weak abroad. We're getting into a position where we really can't do anything in the face of foreign threats from China or Iran. If Iran moves against us on the high seas, what are we going to do? Take it to the UN? Iran doesn't even belong to the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea anyway. So that's not going to help us. China has ratified that treaty, but they interpret it differently. And that's why this incident from 2001 involving the Navy EP-3 reconnaissance plane is so important. Remember, that plane was forced down by the communist Chinese. They held our crew as hostages, didn't release them for about 11 days, held the plane for 3 months. We said, well, we were over international waters, but the Chinese responded, no, you were in our airspace and you violated the UN treaty. Well, you know, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Now the idea, the popular idea in Washington is, oh, we've got to sign and ratify this treaty so we can take China to court. Well, I mean, if this is an outlaw regime that will violate the treaty anyway, based on their own interpretation, what good does it do to go to a court, an international tribunal for the law of the sea, dominated by foreign judges, that are going to rule against us anyway? And Michael, this is the problem we're getting into here. We're once again falling into a horrible trap, and I might add that we've been investigating this treaty for many, many years through my group, America's Survival. At our website, usasurvival.org, we've got numerous reports about where this treaty comes from, who actually wrote it, the harmful effects it will have on our national security. We didn't have to worry about this treaty for many, many years because, as you know, President Reagan rejected it out of hand. Senator Helms had bottled it up in the Senate. Then Senator Frist had bottled it up. But with the liberals taking over the Senate last year, now it's back. It's up on the priority list with a hearing scheduled on September 27th, a hearing that they won't even let us testify at. Another hearing after that, possibly a quick Senate vote. They're trying to rush this thing through, even though it's worse than a Band-Aid in terms of solving our national security problems on the high seas. This isn't going to help us stand up to China. This treaty, this piece of paper with our UN rubber stamp on it, isn't going to help us stand up to Iran or any other threats out there. In fact, it's going to make us more weak and more vulnerable.
This is unbelievable.
This is an infection that has gone through our culture. You know, one of the reasons why I started my group, America's Survival, was I got so disgusted with our media treating the UN as a sacred cow that was above criticism. So I formed USASurvival.org to focus in on the UN, subject it to the investigative scrutiny it deserves. But this political correctness that infects the media and our culture has also, unfortunately and tragically, infected some of our Navy officials. And this explains why they buy into this phony treaty, this very dangerous treaty, because I've been told by people inside the Navy that these international lawyers who pay homage to the UN are very influential in the JAG offices, the Judge Advocate General offices, as well as the Office of General Counsel at the Navy. And they seem to believe in this idea that, well, you know, we got the problems with Iran or China or Russia, but we can put all of those aside, or else we can hire some more international lawyers and go before one of these tribunals and work everything out. Well, you know, hogwash on that. This is a UN bureaucracy, and the UN, as we all know, is anti-American to its core. Most of the members of this treaty are the same group, the so-called Group of 77, including China, which is actually 130 nations, that dominates the UN. So how in the heck are we going to do anything on behalf of our own national security interest by putting this on the agenda of the UN and letting them dictate our policy?
There must be something else the savage nation should learn.
Michael, as you know, as someone who I've had a lot of admiration for speaking as mine and being independent and talking about things the media won't touch, our media are lazy, they're ignorant, they're incompetent. You know, they don't want to bother to read this treaty. They don't want to have to spend any time or effort studying it. You know, it's much easier to talk about Britney and O.J. Well, my gosh, this is the national security of the United States. And in the final analysis, no, I don't think the mainstream media are going to handle this issue. They're probably either going to avoid it altogether, hoping that they rush this treaty through the Senate, or else they'll openly take the side of those supporting the treaty. And they'll try to tell us, oh, it's a great thing, and look, the Navy's supporting it, and it's going to help us on the high seas, and it's going to do this or that. So in the final analysis, we're going to have to depend on shows like this, people like you, talk radio and the Internet to get the truth out. And that's why we've done so much up at usasurvival.org. To make all of our information available for free to the American people, information that we want to present to the U.S. Senate, but Senator Joe Biden, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, so far has brushed us off. He doesn't want to hear from us. Well, maybe he'll hear from the American people.
This is hard to believe that this is still going on. It can't be going on. But thanks for the update.
Michael, thanks a million. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Savage.
Think you saw the student tasered in Florida after he had already been subdued and handcuffed on the floor? Because liberal lawyers have taken over police departments. Affirmative action has taken over police departments. The student sat there like cows and like sows and said and did nothing while a fellow student was being manhandled by these rent-a-cops. Chris from San Francisco, you're on the Savage Nation.
You know, you're the quintessential analyst, so I have a question I've wanted to ask you for years. Do you see any redeeming value in the liberals? I can't find one, but
yes,
you
yeah,
can.
Yeah. Now, this is going to surprise you. You ask, do I, Michael Savage, arch conservative, see any redeeming value in liberalism, correct?
That I can't find one.
Yes. The answer is yes, I do. And you'd say, well, he's going to say something sarcastic now. No, I won't. Rational liberalism is a very important break upon the excesses that might arise in an all-too-powerful bureaucracy or government. The problem is liberalism today has detached itself from its original libertarian roots and has become somewhat totalitarian in that it wants government to impose restrictions on people, restrictions, for example, of what you can say, what you can read, what you can speak, and they should control, liberals should control what you read, what you say, and what you speak. So that's the problem with phony liberalism. True liberalism would curtail the tendency towards an overreaching government, but in a rational manner. They wouldn't, for example, override a conviction against a terrorist from Algeria found with dynamite or explosives and timers in his trunk, would they? That's not rational liberalism. That's insanity, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, an overriding IRS needs to be curtailed by somebody. An overriding any government agency needs to be controlled, or else it will take over your whole life. We don't want that. We don't want an overriding governmental power. What is government? It's people. People will abuse power if they're granted unlimited power. So we have to be very careful to not give any governmental agency unlimited power. On the other hand, there has to be a rationale in liberalism, and I don't see any rationale. There's no balance left in it. Thanks for the call. Sacramento, Rich, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please, what's bugging you?
Dr. Michael Savage.
Yes. How are you? What's on your mind?
Yeah. When I was 15, my grandparents took me to Hawaii, and we weren't fortunate enough to sit first class on the plane, and this elderly lady went to the bathrooms. We were about five rows up, and she apparently emptied out her colostomy bag, and, oh, my God, the smell.
Wait. Well, let's slow down. She emptied it out where, in the sink?
No, in the bathroom, in the toilet in the bathroom. But
Hold. Let's not get too graphic. So the plane was experiencing a little roughage?
The smell for about 3 hours.
Oh, my God. So you were sitting in first class but next to the restroom?
No, not in first class. We were back in the middle of the, back near the back of the plane, But I'm just saying we were about five rows up from the bathrooms. And
you could still smell the stink there?
Are you kidding me? It filled the whole plane. It was
horrible. You see, I think you're being illiberal about this. The poor woman was suffering, and if you were a Mother Teresa type, you would have offered to rinse a colostomy bag for her.
Michael, you know what I love? I love when you do your nostalgia about your youth. It brings me back to my Italian upbringing. Sometime I would love to tell you about my grandfather.
Rich, where'd you grow up? What city?
Well, I grew up in down by Glendora, but my grandparents came from New York. My grandfather was my great-grandfather's chauffeur, and he had seven daughters, and he was family, in the family.
Well, wait a minute. Your great-grandfather was your grandfather's chauffeur?
And my grandpa was his chauffeur, and he fell in love with my grandma Dolly, and my great grandpa threatened to kill him, but my grandfather was so in love with her, he told my grandpa, "I love Dolly, I'm gonna marry her someday," and I swear. And he went ahead and they opened up a little market in New York, and when the grandpa died, there was no sons to carry on the business, and just like in the movies, they were threatened, and that's when they moved to Glendora, California, Michael.
Oh my God, you really are the American, like the American novel.
When you talk about, one arm in New York and stuff, it brings back those memories. When they moved to Glendora, my aunt Sally wanted a new car, and the guy wouldn't throw in a radio, and my grandmother, my grandpa's name, and what do you know, they threw in the radio. I mean, I could tell you.
He mentioned the grandfather's name, and the guy gave the car for free.
Yeah, when you mention this stuff, Michael, I love it. It brings it back, man.
He said, "Madam, do me a favor, take the dealership."
Oh, Michael, I love it.
So, Rich, you yourself today are legitimate, though, I hope.
Oh, I swear. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't care. It's your business. It's your business, and I don't want to know anything about it. But, Rich, do you ever go back to the old country, meaning New York City?
I've never been there. I've always wanted to.
It's overrated, Rich. It's overrated. It really is. You can find what you're looking for virtually anywhere except in Glendora. I don't know. Is there an Italian community in Glendora?
Oh, yeah. We used to go to this little deli called Cuero's. They used to make their own homemade Italian sausage there. Michael, I'm adopted. I'm not even pure. I'm not even born Italian, but my grandparents raised me that way.
And that's beautiful. Well, you sure have a love for your family, huh?
And then my grandparents would get mad at each other and start cussing in Italian. I miss it, Michael. I miss it.
Hold on. Let me ask you something. This is interesting. Before we go, they obviously lived a long life together, right? How many years were they married?
Well, they were married since they were 15 and 14.
No, but are they still living?
Huh? No. They both died.
All right. So how many years were they married before someone died?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. 70 years.
70 years. And did they have a volatile relationship, meaning verbally they yelled at each other?
Near the end, yes, especially my grandfather. We had a cabin in Big Bear down in Southern California.
See, I'm getting at something. Rich, that's the way people generally related to each other in another generation. They didn't talk quiet, and God forbid you should raise your voice, and they call a psychiatrist. They yelled at each other. I think that those who yell at each other stay together.
We loved each other, Michael, but we would scream every holiday. I married a German woman.
What do you mean, only on the holidays? What was wrong with your family that you waited for a holiday to yell at each other?
I married a German woman. I go to the house, we open the presents, the mother's over there knitting, and the father is reading a book, and I'm like, where's the yelling?
What is wrong with them? Why are they so quiet? Why are they ignoring us? It's a cultural thing, it really is. The Mediterranean people are very volatile and very verbal, and they love to argue and they love to confront each other, or else they don't feel they're alive.
Hey, listen, my grandfather disappeared. He drove up to the cabin. He had it with my grandmother. He disappeared for 3 days. Nobody knew if he was alive or dead. He had it with my nana. He drove up to the top of the mountain to our cabin and didn't tell anybody, you know?
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I don't want to cast any aspersions on your grandpa, but if I'm not mistaken, over the mountain, isn't there Reno?
No, this is down in Southern California, Big Bear.
All right, excuse me. So over the mountain is Las Vegas. You go over a mountain road down the other side. Yeah. Hey, Grandma, I'm going to the mountain cabin. Why, couldn't have taken a road down the mountain over to Vegas?
He could have.
So, hey. That's where he went for 3 days. I think he was doing some bird watching.
Savage.